This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be playing for you here these next few weeks some segments from a show that I have the privilege of doing in Dallas with a doctor, Dr. Lewis Coates. And he has a family medical practice there in the Dallas area. And he just brings some great information, and I wanted to share it with our Haystack audience here as well. So again, he is not a local doctor. He's out of the Garland, Texas area, but just great health information. So we're going to join that conversation now with Dr. Lewis Coates. Dr. Coates, always good to have you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I'm sure things have been quite busy for you in your clinic. Just take a minute and just kind of tell us how things are going there from over the last few months.
Yeah, business is picking back up, and things are starting to get back to normal. As more people have been vaccinated, more people are starting to go to the doctor again. So that's good to see. Unfortunately, we've been diagnosing a lot of cancers because people miss screenings, in the last year. You know, one of the shows we talked about was making sure you didn't do that. And unfortunately, I've seen quite a few people that, didn't get their CAT scan done or colonoscopy done or mammogram done or prostate check done. So, now we're talking, a year later, and, things are not so good.
Wow. Yeah, folks, please. If you don't take anything else away from this show today, take that away. Do not put off any type of appointments that your doctor has told you. And we discussed that on that show. If they say we need to see you back in a year, that's not an approximate time. That's 12 months. So make sure you do that. Well, today we're going to talk about something that actually we haven't discussed yet in all the time we've been doing the show, and that's just kind of our skin and skin issues, skin diseases, I guess we can call them as well. So spring is here and summer's around the corner, and so we're all going to be doing some things probably out in the yard, different things like that. And first of all, Dr. Coates, and probably most people know this, but the skin is our largest organ, and most of adults, it says, carry 8 pounds and 22 square feet of it around.
Yeah, it's crazy. And people, I see that trivia question a lot on game shows and stuff. What's the, largest organ in the body? And most people choose intestines, which we talked about. It's very, very big.
Yeah.
But the actual largest organ is the skin. And square footage-wise, it's tremendously big.
Absolutely. All right, so let's kind of talk about, and like I say, I mentioned the yard, so let's say people taking hikes or getting out in the yard. What are some of the most popular conditions that you see?
This time of year, it's contact dermatitis from some type of plant, poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, all those things we see all the time, okay? It's very, very common, and people think that the plants are themselves poisonous, but they're not. It's actually... there's a substance on the leaf that when you go by and touch the leaf, that substance gets on your skin, and that substance then causes your immune system to think that the skin's being attacked, and your immune system is what causes the rash. The sticky substance off the leaf really is harmless.
Mm-hmm.
However, because our immune system thinks it's going to attack us, it causes our immune system to attack the skin, and that's what causes the rash. And you see these big, red, blistery, itchy rashes that people get. And there's kind of some misnomers about poison ivy. One of the most common ones is that, if I touch it, it's going to spread it, okay? Well, once you've taken a shower and cleaned the clothes that you have, the toxin has now been washed off. So after that point, you can't spread it anymore. I hear women all the time, I'm not going to let him sleep in the bed with me because he's got poison ivy on him, and I don't want to catch it. Well, as long as he took a shower, the lady has no risk of him sleeping in the bed. Unfortunately, that's kind of a misnomer, and people think that all the time. The only way you can catch it is from touching the toxin, and the toxin's either going to be on your clothes or on your skin. So once you get home, simply, if you're out in the woods or cutting a lot of vines down, As soon as you get home, put your clothes in the washing machine and then go take a shower, and no one can catch poison ivy from you. Now, you may break out in other spots, and that's not because you're spreading it. It's because your immune system is still overactive, thinking that stuff is attacking the skin, and it's sending out inflammatory cells, like we've talked about with the immune system, mm-hmm. to attack different areas of the skin. And it's going out looking for invaders, and it can't find any, so it just attacks the skin itself. And that's why the best treatment is going to be getting a steroid shot, because steroids shut down the immune system. It's like turning off the alarm so the police aren't coming anymore, and they're not going to shoot anybody.
Okay.
So when the alarm is turned off, that's what steroids do. The inflammatory cells stop going to the skin and stop trying to attack areas on the skin. And that's the best treatment. You know, if you have a small little spot, you can try topical steroids. Cortisone over the counter is something we tell people if they have a small little area. But if once it gets to a big area, you need to get into the doctor and get an injection of steroids. That's the gold standard treatment. And as far as prevention, you know, we hear that all the time. What can I do to prevent poison ivy? The creams and stuff that they're used out there really don't prevent poison ivy. The best treatment is barriers, okay? So long sleeves, long pants, gloves, anything you can use to keep your skin from touching the leaf, and then making sure that you put those things or clean those items after you're done, because the toxin can be on the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible if you came home and someone else picked up your laundry, your dirty laundry, they could catch it that way. Or sometimes we'll see it from dogs. You let your dog out, if you live in a wooded area, the dog will run through the woods and catch that stuff all over his hair, and the owner comes and pets the dog, and you can catch it that way too.
Okay. Now, as far as like poison ivy and poison oak, do those display different in the type or look of the rash?
Not really. Patients always ask which one they have. And unless we see the actual leaf from the rash itself, the
right.
doctor can't really tell you. All he can tell you is you touched something that you were allergic to. We can't tell you what kind of vine or tree that it was that you were allergic to. The most common are poison ivy and poison oak. But there are other things people do have reactions to once in a while.
Right. Now, just rashes in general, you know, we're laying there and all of a sudden we see the rash come up on our leg or on our arm or face, whatever the case may be. When do we know when we should, you know, seek medical attention or just try some over-the-counter things to see what, are there any rashes, I guess, that are dangerous?
Well, I think the first thing you do is you try over-the-counter cortisone cream, okay? There are some rashes that are dangerous. If it looks like a target lesion or it looks like a little bullseye, you know, that can be a sign of Lyme disease, which is from tick bites.
Mm-hmm.
And so that type of rash, you would want to get in to see a doctor immediately. But for the most part, most rashes, you can try some over-the-counter cortisone. If it's continuing to spread or you can't control it with the over-the-counter cortisone cream, that's when you go see the doctor.
Okay. You're listening to Better Health. Dr. Lewis Coates is our guest. Okay, you mentioned ticks, so let's go there. That was on our list anyway. Kind of talk about ticks, mosquitoes, that kind of thing. But several years ago, I actually got that Rocky Mountain spotted fever from a tick that I transported back from Montana while I was hunting back to Colorado, and that was not fun. But kind of just talk about, you know, a tick bite and how we should handle all that.
Yeah, tick bites are another thing that's pretty dangerous. So whenever you go into a wooded area, you know, it's a good idea to wear some type of insect repellent. We tell people to use 20% DEET. That's the type of insect repellent that we usually recommend.
Okay.
The best treatment, once again, is long sleeve shirts, pants, you know, covering your skin as much as possible. And walk in the center of the trail. Don't walk in the deep wooded areas. When you get home, take a shower. You know, check your skin. Look for tick bite areas. You know, ticks like to hide in areas. They like to get behind the ears, under the arms, between the legs, behind the knees, or in the hair area. They try to get areas where you can't see them so you won't pick them off, okay? Because remember, the tick is living off of your blood. It's sucking blood out of you. And so it has to get some. If you pick it off and flick it to the ground, it can't survive. So ticks need to find a source of blood in order to survive, and that's what they're trying to do. The problem is that ticks can cause diseases. You know, they live in the woods, but, you know, they can cause Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, as you mentioned, Colorado tick fever, tularemia, ehrlichiosis, that's another tick-borne disease. There's probably more. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. But
right.
The ones that come to mind, Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever are the two most common. So if you get a tick bite and you start to have systemic symptoms where you're having fever, chills, body aches, rashes breaking out, then you should see a doctor and let him know that, hey, I found a tick on myself last week, and now I'm having fever, joint pains, rashes. Those are signs of tick-borne diseases. And these things, when treated early, usually are relatively benign, but they can get pretty severe if they're left untreated. So it is something that you want to get taken care of as fast as possible.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when that first hit me, I mean, I felt like I'd got hit by a truck. I mean,
Yeah. It
was horrible. And then a few days later, like 3 or 4 days later, then this explosion of just redness and different blotches of areas all over my legs, you know?
Yeah, and one thing we should probably mention while we're talking about ticks is if you find a tick, you need to remove the tick, okay? Usually we tell people to get a set of tweezers, grab the tick as close as you can to the skin surface, pull straight away. Don't try to twist or bend the tick, just pull it straight out. After you remove the tick, get you a magnifying glass or have someone else look at it and make sure that there's no tick head or, you know, claws or anything left under the skin. Clean it real good with soap and water.
Okay.
And make sure that there's nothing left in there.
Right. Absolutely. Once again, we were talking about skin issues, and Dr. Coates is our guest. All right, boy, this is something that I think we've all had in our life. Let's talk about sunburns a little bit and how we can protect our skins, especially. I know you love to be on the water, and I do as well,
yeah.
And it's easy to go out there and just take your shirt off and soak it up.
Yeah, sunburns are very, very important. Protecting your skin from UV light, you know, there's three different bands of UV light. There's UVA, UVB, and UVC. And most UVC is stopped in the ozone layer, and it's the most dangerous. A is the one that hits the ground the most. B travels through about 95% of the UV light is going to be A, and about 5% is going to be B when you're out in the sun. And unfortunately, you know, UV rays cause our skin to tan, which is what everybody likes, but it also causes damage to the skin, and it's a big, big cause of skin cancer. So for that reason, it's real important when you go outside to use some type of protection. And of course, once again, the best protection is covering up. If you have long sleeves and long pants on,
mm-hmm.
You know, of course you don't get burned. But, you know, here in Texas, most of the time in the summer, it's too hot to wear long pants and long sleeves all
sure.
the time. You'd burn up. So most of us are in shorts and short sleeves. And we have a lot of our skin exposed to the sun. So what do? Well, the best thing to do is to use some type of suntan lotion. And there's a big confusion with suntan lotion. You know, a lot of patients come in and ask questions about that all the time. What kind of suntan lotion should I be using? And I always tell them that you need one that's a SPF 30. There's a misnomer. You know, they have all these numbers now, 30, 70, 80, 100. And a lot of times, the higher the number, the more they want to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to 30, you've blocked 97% of the sun rays, okay? And going to 50, all it does is go to 98%. And when you go to 70, you block 99%. So you're really not getting a lot of bang for your buck there, okay?
Okay.
You know, I tell people it needs to be at least 30, okay? Once you get to a number 30 or above, you've got pretty good SPF control of the UV light. And how they determine, you know, how these suntan lotions work is they spray it on a piece of plexiglass, and they measure how much light comes through, and that's how they get their ratings, okay? Now, in a perfect world, we're not, our body, our skin is not like plexiglass, okay? Our skin sweats, and we get wet, we get in the pool. We were talking about going to the lake just a second ago. All these things also contribute to how well a sunscreen works, okay? So you have to make sure that you reapply. There is no such thing as a waterproof sunscreen. They have water-resistant sunscreens, and most of them have ratings of 30, 60, or 80 minutes. You know, there's not very many that are longer than 80 minutes, okay? So that means that the majority of its UV protection is going to wear off at 80 minutes. So what you need to do, if you're at the lake, is when you get out of the water, reapply, squirt some more on, okay, and let it soak in, and then get back in the water again. But you need to frequently reapply. I tell patients in my clinic, the best sunscreen is the one that you're willing to put on the most, the one that's comfortable, you like, and it's not expensive. You know, they rate these sunscreens, ironically, and, you know, Consumer Reports and all that. Maybe,
sure.
You know, and, you know, 3 years ago, the one from Equate from Walmart, which is what I use the most of, Equate Sport, it's an SPF 50. It scored a 99. Okay, it was one of the most effective sunscreens that they had, and it was very, very inexpensive. You know, $4 or $5 a bottle, and the one that was rated above it 100 was $37 a bottle. Okay, and it was almost identical. So the problem with the one that's $37 a bottle is you're going to be very sparingly use it. You're not going to want to put it on all the time because you're thinking, oh, my God, that's another $5 I just put on.
Right.
You know, when you have a bottle that's $5 total, you don't mind jumping out, spraying it. You know, as soon as you get out, you just spray yourself again. I like the sprays better than the lotions, but it doesn't matter. You know, you can get gel, you can get spray, you can get lotion. Whatever is most comfortable for you to put on, and you feel that, hey, this one's easy, the texture is good, you know, it's not irritating my skin. You know, you have to find something that you like and you're willing to put on frequently, or else the effectiveness goes way down. Okay, you can get one way down the list on Consumer Reports, but if you're using it every hour, it's way more effective than the top rank one if you're only using it every 3 hours.
Absolutely. So now for those that, and all of us have done it, where we went out and did not have the right protection, and all of a sudden at the end of the day we realize our skin is on fire and we've got a bad sunburn, what's kind of the best treatment for that?
Sunburn, the best treatment is aloe vera, okay? You know, you get the aloe vera. I do tell patients, put it in the refrigerator so it's cold because it feels good going on your skin that way.
Right.
Okay? Unfortunately, we don't want you getting sunburned because every sunburn you get dramatically increases your risk of skin cancer down the road, which is the main reason that we're using sunscreen, is to prevent the skin cancers that can develop. You know, the other reason you like to use sunscreen is it slows down the aging process, okay? UV light causes wrinkles. It causes your skin to get thick and look kind of leathery. So you don't... You know, the more UV protection you get, the younger you'll look later on in life. So, you know, if you get burned all the time, you know, your skin's going to age prematurely. And so you can see patients in my clinic that are 60 that look 85 and some that are 60 that look 45. Okay. So, and usually it's because their skin is just thick and wrinkly and makes them look a lot older than they really are. So that's another important thing to remember, in addition to the fact that, you know, UV light is one of the major causes of skin cancer. You know, we have different types of skin cancer, basal cell, squamous cell, melanoma, Merkel's cancer. So you have these different types of skin cancer, but they're all pretty much brought on by sunlight and exposure to UV radiation. And so... You know, and there's different types of UV. You know, we're talking about sunlight, but, you know, there's man-made UV light, too. You know, tanning beds, okay?
Right.
Tanning beds, you know, mainly are UVA. You know, some of them have some UVB in it. People think that they're safe, and that's not true, okay? Tanning beds cause skin cancer just like the sun does. And They're very, very potent. It depends on the type of bulbs that are in the tanning booth and how strong they are. But the ones that give the best tan cause the most cancer. So, you know, unfortunately, those two things go hand in hand. And in some states now, the FDA has recommended a federal law that prohibits people from under 18 to use tanning beds. And that's because the studies now show that if you start using a tanning bed under age 35, your risk of skin cancer dramatically increases later on in life. Okay, so the younger you start, the higher the risk is. So some states have already implemented laws that you can't tan under 18, and the FDA is calling for a federal law. So, you know, that may be something that happens down the road.
Absolutely.
But other sources of man-made light is like xenon lights on cars. That has UV light in it. Mercury lamps, some of the stuff we use for cleaning rooms has UVC lights in it. And that's sterilizer. You know, now that COVID's been around, a lot of people have these sterilization lights, and that you need to be careful that you don't go in there while it's cleaning the room, because UVC is one of the most potent types of UV light, and you want to stay away from that.
Absolutely. Once again, if you're just getting in the car, turn on the radio. Dr. Lewis Coates is our guest. You are listening to Better Health. My name is Scott Watley, and we are glad you are with us. Dr. Coates' practice is located in Sachse at 5915 Murphy Road. His number, 972-496-6937. Now, what about self-tanners? You know, they make some creams and different things you can put on just to make your skin darker. Have you heard anything with those?
Yeah, those are safe.
Okay.
Now, the things that aren't safe are the accelerators, okay? The tanning accelerators, they increase the amount of sun you get. So those things cause you to burn faster, and that would be something you'd want to avoid. But if you just want to color your skin, you know, the tanning, those, you know, as far as I know, I've not seen any data that shows any kind of danger with those.
Okay. And, you know, you get the people, and I'm one of them. I don't burn normally. I just get dark. But so then I guess in my mind I've always felt like, hey, I'm probably not getting skin cancer because I'm just tanning and I'm not burning. That's probably not true, is it?
No. And the type of skin color that you have does play a role in the rate of skin cancer, okay? The lighter your skin, the more risk you have of skin cancer. The darker your natural skin color, the less risk you have, okay? So the color of your natural skin definitely plays a role in your risk of developing skin cancer down the road, okay?
So, yeah, I've got a buddy, red hair, light skin, yep. And man, he's had a lot of issues with it.
And that's the highest risk person, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the really pale skinned person that burns real easy, he burns through a window looking outside, you know, that type of person can, and there are people like that.
Wow.
You know, they can get a sunburn even though they're inside. Okay. You have to remember that, you know, depending on the type of glass you have, a lot of those UV rays are still going through the glass. Okay. So, so there are people like that. And you got to remember also that, you know, the different time of the day, you know, UV rays are strongest between 10 and 4, okay? Different seasons. Of course, spring and summer, UV rays are stronger than fall and winter. The distance from the equator, the altitude, you know, the higher you are, you're in Colorado, I'm here in Dallas, so there's more UV rays reaching you in Denver, significantly more than there is here in Dallas, okay? Clouds, people think that it's cloudy. You know, funny thing is, most burns occur on cloudy days.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because UV rays can go straight through the clouds onto you. And so people think it's not so hot, so they don't think that they have to put on sunscreen or sun lotion. They're out at the lake all day. They're not getting hot, and they don't feel like they're burning. And then they come home, and their skin's all red. Okay, so that's important to remember. And UV rays can bounce off surfaces. Okay, they reflect off water, sand, snow, pavement. All these things can cause the UV rays to bounce up, so that can cause issues too.
Absolutely. Boy, I tell you, we're going to have to do kind of an introduction here. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and we've got a lot to cover on these skin cancers. But let's just kind of give an introduction to that, and maybe we can pick it up next week. But what are just some warning signs of skin cancer? Do most of us know if we look at a spot, oh, that's cancer, or is it pretty tricky to detect?
It can be tricky, and we can probably go over this next week, but we have the rule of A, B, C's, and D, and we'll go over those things next week. And sometimes those help you, but, you know, any little bump can turn out to be a cancer down the road. So, you know, if you have a pimple or a mole or something that looks like it's getting worse and not going away on its own, you should have that checked out. And more than once, you know, if you have a spot and a doctor looks at it and he says, well, it looks okay, we should probably keep an eye on it. Well, you know, maybe the next time you go in, have him look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, skin cancers are frequently missed cancers. You know, I had a gentleman in my clinic when I first started, and he came in with this spot on his temple area. And I said, man, that looks really bad. And he goes, oh, I've had that checked out before. It's all fine. And, you know, anyway, I didn't like the look of it. So, you know, the second time he came in, I said, look, we just need to biopsy. That thing bothers me. Okay, I don't like the looks of it. We biopsied, and he had skin cancer, okay? And he was all mad because his previous doctor in Arizona told him it was fine, okay? And I said, well, you know, things change. So,
right. You know,
maybe at that time it looked different. And if it keeps getting bigger, just because someone said something, you know, years ago that it was okay doesn't mean that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if it's continuing to grow, and getting or anything that changes is something that should be looked at, because skin cancers can be very difficult to pick up.
Absolutely, and are there any common denominators with a skin cancer? Like they're going to be a certain color or tender or hurt?
Yeah, and that's into those rules of ABC.
Okay, okay.
A few minutes, so
yeah.
So you know it probably. Spend a little more time on that. I don't want to rush through it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, a minute and a half here. Let's kind of do a little COVID update of what you're seeing. You know, a lot of people, you know, we are seeing some cases still coming up and people getting this for the first time. But many are going to their doctors, and doctors, unless they're really bad, are just kind of sending them home and telling them to stay home for 10 days.
That's kind of, you know, a common theme. Now, there are, you know, I think there are some things you can do.
Okay.
You know, if you do come down with COVID and you test COVID positive, you know, my suggestion would be to use, to find somewhere that they're using monoclonal antibodies or someone that's using ivermectin. I think both of those things we've seen pretty good results with. I do believe at some point that monoclonal antibodies will be a type of treatment that we see commonly used, that someone will test COVID positive, you'll show up at the doctor and they'll inject some antibodies in you and hopefully that'll get you well. If for people that don't get the vaccine, you know, luckily the numbers have kind of leveled off because so many people are getting the vaccine now. You know, a lot of people are vaccinated and a lot of people have already had COVID. So there's a lot of immunity to COVID out there now that wasn't there 6 months ago.
Right. Well, Dr. Coates, man, always enjoy visiting with you. Thank you so much, and we will look forward to our visit next week, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
That was Dr. Lewis Coates, and once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Coates' practice is in Garland, Texas. We do a show each week there in the Dallas area called Better Health, and he just shares some great information, so I wanted to share it with you, our Haystack audience. You're listening to KLZ 560. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Mile High Estate Planning. Check out the website, milehighestateplanning.com. A lot of great reviews there, a lot of great information in general. So be sure and check that out. And it's always good to have attorney Blake Harris with us. Blake, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be back on the show today.
It is great to have you, and I always look forward to these shows. And personally, I learn a lot, and I know you are a big help to our listeners. So, you know, when we talk about the topic of mistakes, which is kind of going to be our topic today, most of the time, mistakes are costly. And boy, when you look in this matter of estate planning, and if you don't do some things right and have all your T's crossed, as they say, and I's dotted, sometimes some of these mistakes can really be costly for us, can't they?
Yes, yes. I mean, an ounce of prevention is worth the pound of the cure, and this is certainly true when it comes to estate planning. So I've got a list of about 10 mistakes here that I want to talk through, and hopefully we can help the listeners avoid some of these common estate planning mistakes.
That sounds great, sir.
So let's start with estate planning mistake number one, most common one, putting it off. All too often I've had clients call me because their parents never created an estate plan. They were meaning to do it. One of the parents kept dragging their feet, or maybe both the parents just didn't get around to doing it. And they end up having the children with no estate plan. The children have to deal with what happens when you have no estate plan at all. And that means going through the probate court. That could also mean going through probate while you're alive because you don't have a financial or medical power of attorney in place. The court has to appoint a guardian or conservator on your behalf. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to report to the court the entire time that you're alive. And you also have to pay all the court fees that are associated with probate after you pass away. So the right time to create an estate plan is right now. Anyone age 18 or older can create an estate plan. Certainly if you have children or own any real estate, you definitely benefit from putting together an estate plan and not putting it off any longer.
Absolutely. And, this is just some things. It's kind of like doing some pre-shopping for a body shop in case you have a wreck. These are things we don't really want to think about. But if anything we've learned over the last 15, 16 months, life can change in a heartbeat. And I know at some point you'll probably touch on the incapacitation, but man, this is something that can really just put everyone's life in havoc.
I agree. And also what can put life in havoc is if you don't have a properly drafted estate plan, which brings me to estate planning mistake number two, doing it yourself. Nowadays, there are lots of options for online and do-it-yourself for just about everything from estate planning to fixing your car to You could probably find ways online to perform surgery yourself. However, I've met with far too many families that have had to spend thousands or tens of thousands of dollars because the parents did not seek the proper guidance. When it comes time to create an estate plan, it's well worth the time and energy it takes to meet with an attorney to help draw up a properly drafted estate plan so that you have the utmost confidence that in the event something happens to you, your estate plan is safe from probate and properly drafted. By working with an attorney, you will have more confidence knowing that your estate plan was set up correctly. So avoiding the online forms, avoiding doing it yourself, that's my advice and that's my tip for avoiding estate plan mistake number two, doing it yourself.
Right. And, you know, Blake, so many times through all of our lives, you end up meeting a lot of people, so people feel like everyone, if you say, do you have an attorney, they're going to probably say yes. But in what field does that attorney really specialize in, if any, where that's really all they do? And the next point, I would say, boy, it could be number one, too, because you've got to have the right attorney like yourself that really specializes in this. And when I say specialize, that's all you do at Mile High Estate Planning.
We are 100% estate planning focused. We do everything under the estate planning umbrella, but nothing beyond that. And Scott, you were leading me exactly into estate planning mistake number three, choosing the wrong professional. When it comes to estate planning, I highly recommend choosing someone who focuses on estate planning. There are lots of attorneys out there, but only a handful who really focus their career on estate planning. By working with my firm or another firm that focuses exclusively on estate planning, you're going to find a team that's more experienced, that can find more opportunities to save your money, more opportunities, ways to protect your funds from probate, from long-term care costs, from taxes, from lawsuits. Picking the right professional, picking the right attorney to work with is a very important decision. Probably, other than maybe not naming your guardian for your minor children, it's probably the most important decision that you will need to make when it comes to selecting an estate planning attorney. So take your time, read the reviews, get comfortable with the attorney, because once you have an estate plan and once you pass away, your wishes are set in stone. You want to make sure that you chose the right person to work with. You want to make sure you choose somebody who you can communicate with. Experience is important. Right. You want to work with somebody who's been doing it 5 or even 10 years or more, but you also want to make sure that you're comfortable communicating with them. Attorneys were once hired because we had some access to knowledge that others didn't have access to. The knowledge is all out there. I mean, it's all on the internet and available. But you want to work with an attorney who can communicate that knowledge to you in a manner that you understand. So you want to make sure you choose the right professional and avoid estate planning tip number three, which is choosing estate planning mistake number three, which is choosing the wrong professional.
Right. So, Blake, I mean, I know you do kind of second opinion, so to speak. If people have a plan and they want you to look it over, that you will do that. When you've done that, and I'm not talking about one that was maybe done 20 years ago, but have you ever seen a situation where maybe someone had a plan done a year or two ago, and, boy, you look at it, and there were several things or even one big thing left out that it really could have put that family in a bind had they not come to you if you could show them that?
So I have helped thousands of individuals and families with their estate planning over the course of my career. I've reviewed plans done by some very good attorneys. I've reviewed plans done by some attorneys who are not very good at estate planning. Sometimes the plans were drafted recently. Sometimes they were drafted a while back. If you have any concerns about your current estate plan, contact my office. We can look through it and we can give our guidance, and our recommendations are usually one of three things. In some cases, we say your estate plan is great, nothing you need to change, keep your plan just as you have it set up. Mm-hmm. In other cases, what we will say is the estate plan is good, but there are some minor changes. I would recommend making an amendment to the plan just to tighten it up a little bit. And then in other cases, I've had to tell clients that unfortunately they need to start over, or fortunately they found me so that this got corrected before we got too far, before it was too late. So yes, there are other attorneys out there doing great jobs putting together estate plans, and there's other estate plans that are being drafted that I think leave a lot of room for improvement.
Blake Harris is our guest. You're listening to Protect Your Legacy. Our show is brought to you by Mile High Estate Planning. And Blake said give him a call, so I'll give you that number, 833-ASK-BLAKE. That's 833-ASK-BLAKE. Go ahead, sir.
All right, so estate planning mistake number four, not planning for your possible incapacitation. Mm-hmm. The majority of us will be incapacitated at some point. You are actually 10 times more likely to be incapacitated in the next year than you are to pass away. Having a properly drafted incapacity document can save your family the need to go through a guardianship or conservatorship proceeding in the event of your incapacity. I will run you through the four documents that I recommend you create when you put together your estate plan. The very first one is a financial power of attorney. Financial power of attorney will allow the individual you have selected to make a financial decision on your behalf in the event of your incapacity so that your bills can continue to get paid, so that somebody can access your bank accounts. They can't spend the money on themselves, but they can spend the money for your benefits. Next is a medical power of attorney. A medical power of attorney allows the individual you have selected to make a medical decision on your behalf in the event of incapacity. Then you have a HIPAA authorization. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, it allows your agents to access that protected health care information and share it with doctors to make informed decisions, and a living will. A living will says that if you are in a permanent vegetated state, that you don't want to be kept on life support forever, and you do want to have be taken off of life support after a certain period of time. So estate plan mistake number four, planning for your possible incapacitation. Some people think, oh, all I need to do is draw up a will and I'm done. If you do that, you're missing an important component of your estate plan. Definitely make sure that when you put together your estate plan, you do all of your incapacity planning as well.
Right, and you know, boy, I can't tell you how many stories I know of just personally over these last times with all this COVID, Blake, where people, 40s, 50s, not necessarily just our olders and 70s and 80s, were incapacitated and some passed and some came back around, but you never know. And if you don't have those documents, what kind of dilemma, so to speak, does that put that family in?
It puts them in a very costly dilemma. Also, it could open the door to some family fighting where they have to go to court and argue who is going to be the one to make decisions on behalf of their parents or spouse. And you definitely want to have an incapacity document in place as soon as possible, which gives the power to gift away your assets so that you can avoid the next estate planning mistake number five, which is not planning for long-term care costs. And I know we've discussed this before on your show, but it's important, so I'm going to mention it again. The average cost for a one-month stay in a nursing home in the Denver area runs north of $7,000.
Yeah,
many estates will dwindle. Some estates will be completely wiped out because of long-term care costs. By planning ahead 5 or more years in advance of moving into a nursing home, you can set up a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust where you transfer your assets into it. You maintain control over the assets, but in the event that you need to move into the nursing home, those assets are not considered eligible assets, and the government that you've been paying into your entire life will pay for the cost of your long-term care. And then after you pass away, your property, instead of being recovered by the state, will actually pass down to your own children or grandchildren or the people that you have designated. Long-term care is a very costly expense, and planning for your long-term care is a vital part of putting together an estate plan. So overlooking long-term care, that's estate planning mistake number five.
All right. And then when you talk about trust, and you've said this before, you know, setting up a trust that can preserve the assets for folks, do most people really, when you bring up the word trust, would you say most of us have a good understanding of really what a trust is all about? Because I didn't until I met you.
No, I would say most people don't know the difference between a trust and a will, and really there's no reason to or need to until it comes time to create your estate plan. And if you work with a good attorney, they will be able to walk you through the process. They will be able to explain to you how to set up a will, how to set up a trust, which one is appropriate for you, and the information that you need to know about it. They can go on and on about what all different types of trusts there are and the different benefits and uses and functions of them. But I don't do that for my clients. I talk to them about the products that are appropriate for them, about the solutions that fit their individual needs. So I try not to overwhelm them with any information. I give them the relative information that they need to plan. And then once they have that, they are in a better position to plan for their family, plan for their children. Speaking of planning for their family and children, let's talk about estate planning mistake number 6, which is not planning for disabled children or grandchildren. If you have a child or grandchild who's disabled, which is a lot of the population, or if you have a child or grandchild that could become disabled, which is all of the population, it is imperative that you include a special needs trust within your estate plan. A special needs trust allows a beneficiary of that trust to keep their inheritance and still receive government benefits. Hopefully it's not going to ever be needed. Hopefully you'll never have the issue in your family. But if you do, it makes all the difference in the world between an individual losing their inheritance and an individual having to spend all their money and then needing to rely on government housing for the rest of their life, or a family member being able to maintain their standard of living and still receive the government benefits. So you definitely want to plan for your long-term care, your disability by planning for nursing home costs and by preparing your incapacity documents, but also plan for the possibility that you have a child or grandchild that could be disabled by setting up a special needs trust at the time you create your estate plan.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, Blake Harris is our guest. You're listening to Protect Your Legacy. Be sure and check out Blake's website, milehighestateplanning.com. As I mentioned, just go through the reviews there. You will see what people have just said in their own words about doing business with Blake and how he helped them through this process. And Blake, real quick, let's mention your ultimate guide to estate planning and asset protection that's on your website.
Yes, I wrote a book last year, The Ultimate Guide to Estate Planning and Asset Protection. If you go on the Amazon store, you can buy it for about $20, or you can just go to my website and download a free copy. It talks about pretty much everything that you would need to know in terms of your options for creating an estate plan. It also includes some helpful tips, which is going to bring me to estate planning tip number 7. I'm sorry, estate planning mistake number 7, which is choosing outright distributions to heirs. The reason I said tip is because estate planning rule number 1 is never leave money to your children. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but if you leave money to your children could end up losing it. They could get into a car accident and get sued. Their spouse could file for divorce. Instead, leave your money to a trust. A trust will keep the money protected. A trust will never cause a car accident. A trust can't get a divorce, but a trust can keep money protected for your children and grandchildren and for generations to come. So avoiding outright distributions, just giving the money. I mean, certainly you don't want to give the money to a child the day they turn 18. They're too young to manage their own inheritance. But also don't turn around and just dump the money on them the day they turn 30, because if you do that, and their spouse files for divorce the next day, a lot of the money that you meant to leave for your children, leave for your grandchildren's education, could end up being lost due to a lawsuit or divorce. So avoid estate planning mistake number 7, which is outright distributions to heirs. Keep the money in trust, and you will have a family that is able to hold on to their inheritance much longer.
Right. And, you know, if I could, let me touch back on one thing. When we were talking about the financial power of attorney and medical power of attorney, picking a qualified, I don't know if trustee is the right word, or person that's going to be doing that, because I was just talking with a family a couple weeks ago, and they had a death in their family, and they said, wow, they were 3 kids, and the oldest was the one they appointed to handle all this stuff, and, you know, the rest of the whole family felt like that was the worst child to take care of that because he was very, you know, financially just crazy. I mean, could not handle money at all. So that's a very important step when you're actually picking these people. So, I mean, if it's not a relative, sometimes that's okay. If it's just a really good friend that you know would be a better choice, right?
Correct. And I tell clients this all the time. I can put together the best estate plan. I can draft the perfect documents. But if you choose the wrong people to manage your trust, if you nominate the wrong guardian for your minor children, if there's fighting that breaks out within your family, then there's potential for money to end up in the hands of litigation. There's potential for the trustee to mismanage funds. You definitely want to make sure that you vet the people who you are going to choose to serve in these roles. If you need recommendations for professional trustees because you don't have a family member you are comfortable managing these assets, then my firm can certainly refer you to a professional trustee that can help manage your assets.
Right.
Number eight, not protecting your property from lawsuits. So we live in the world's most litigious society. Thousands of lawsuits are filed every single day. Billions of dollars are paid out in judgments every few days. A single lawsuit, if you don't have any protection over your funds, can be an extremely stressful event. This is why I recommend business owners, professionals, individuals with more than $1 million of net worth create an asset protection trust at the same time that they create their other estate planning documents. I describe an asset protection trust like having a good, trusted friend. You give your assets to the friend. You give your boat to your friend. You can still ride that boat. You can still go out on that boat anytime you choose. But if somebody sues you, they're not going to be able to take a boat away from your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Creating an asset protection trust gives our clients a great deal of peace of mind over their assets that in the event of litigation, in the event of a lawsuit, they're going to be able to either settle the case on terms that are acceptable to them or avoid paying the lawsuit entirely, avoid paying the judgment entirely. And this can all be done by creating an asset protection trust at the same time you create your estate plan.
Right. And we talk about trust, and so you have to fund the trust, right, Blake?
Exactly, exactly. So this is a very, very common estate planning mistake. It's not funding your trust. I see it all the time. Parents have put together this great estate plan. They work with a good attorney. They thought they did everything, but they forgot to transfer their home into the trust. Kids come to see me after the parents passed away, and I have to inform them, unfortunately, they still need to go through probate. They've failed to transfer assets into the trust. When you create your estate plan, you want to be sure that you fund your trust. This includes deeding real estate into the trust, opening up a bank account in the name of the trust, or updating the beneficiary designation on the trust. Assigning your tangible personal property to the trust. Anything asset that you own needs to be put into your trust. There are special requirements with a retirement account. Retirement accounts you should probably not put directly into the trust while you're alive because that could cause some tax penalties. But at your passing, if your trust is properly structured, you can have those funds transferred into your trust after you pass away. So.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely don't forget to fund your trust. And when speaking with an attorney about setting up an estate plan, ask the question, is funding included with the estate plan? And if not, then ask what it's going to cost or what's going to need to be done to make sure that the trust gets funded as well. So when you create your estate plan, be sure to fund the trust and not just in addition to creating the trust as well. And if you buy a new property, you've got to keep it funded. So
sure.
Estate planning is not an idle practice. Once it's done, you should review it and update it from time to time.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to estate plan mistake number 10. Do you want to guess what that is, Scott?
That's probably not keeping it current, as you just mentioned.
Exactly. So clients, they create this estate plan. They say, when do I need to update this? And it depends on the situation. In some cases, you should review it maybe every 5 to 10 years. But certainly any time that there's a life event change, if there's a marriage or a divorce, a birth, a death, an inheritance, a lawsuit, a loss of capacity, somebody moving into a nursing home, then it's definitely worthwhile to review your estate plan. As part of my estate planning packages at Mile High Estate Planning, we generally include free lifetime reviews. So if you create an estate plan with us, you can contact us at any time, and we will review your estate plan at no charge. We do this because we want our clients to communicate with us. We want to be kept in the loop that should something change, we can update the estate plan, and the client's wishes will stay in line with their estate plan. Their client's goals will be achieved. An out-of-date estate plan, in some cases, can be worse than no estate plan at all. And by updating your estate plan from time to time, you can be sure that your estate plan and goals will be accomplished after you pass away.
Right. And, Blake, in your line of business and the thousands of families that you have helped and worked with, there's probably, you know, no better feeling while you know someone suffered a loss when they call you and tell you thank you for all that you did for our family because everything went as well as possible. But then there's probably no other phone call you hate to get is for someone that has nothing.
It's you know, I'm happy to help in every way I can, and I know that what the future brings is a mix of clients whose estate planning is going to be well executed and it's going to save their family taxes and headaches and probate time and delays. And then I know that there's going to be other families who are going to come to me, and there are going to be messy situations that we're going to have to help navigate for them, help them do whatever we can after the fact to clean it up. It's certainly much easier on the clients to have the plan in place. My firm will create the estate plan and will administer the estate plan. And if I have somebody contact my law firm to set up an estate plan, I know 95% of the time they're going to be paying less to my firm than the family that comes to me after the fact and says, parents never create an estate plan. What do we do now? It's definitely much more valuable for clients to create their estate plan now as opposed to wait till after the fact and try to receive their inheritance through the court and government process.
Right. Now, folks, it's a free consultation, and Blake's been kind enough to offer us that. And all you have to do is give him a call at 833-ASK-BLAKE. Mention you heard him here on Protect Your Legacy, and we would appreciate that as well. And Blake will be glad to help you, and you can arrange, we're getting to now some in-person meetings, but if you're more comfortable doing the Zoom call or whatever the case may be, Blake will help you out and be glad to help you. So, Blake, man, just thanks for all the great information, and I look forward to these shows every week with you and just to talk through all these different things because I know it's helping a lot of people. And, folks, that's what it's all about. And, Blake, I'm going to read one little quote you have here, and it says, estate planning is all about family and money, so whenever either of those things change, you need to update your plans. So, hey, don't put it off any longer, which was his number one mistake today. Don't put it off. It's a free consult. Give him a call today, 833-ASK-BLAKE. So, Blake, hey, bud, we appreciate it very, very much, and we'll look forward to our next show.
Scott, always fun being on the show. Looking forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks
you,
for having
you
me.
You as well. That's Attorney Blake Harris. Again, it is milehighestateplanning.com. Go check out the reviews, and you will see why. That Mile High Estate Planning is the exclusive estate planning firm you will hear about here on Haystack Help Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.